One, two, three, kick it.
Hey, Dre, what's going on, man? What's going on? Hey, what y'all gonna do for this last record? Now I'm telling what y'all gonna do. Okay, you want me to do the intro? All right. Parental discretion is advised for the moment while I'm getting candid. Now understand it. Ain't your typical in any way, though the pro on the mic is a D-O to the C. This is an intro. I know the doc makes you wanna take a volume. So buy a bucket, cause I'm coming is my album. And for the record, meaning my record, check it. Listen to the single and you be like, yo, I gotta get it. But in the meantime, listen to the rhyme of the Dr. Dre, play with N.W.A. Yellers on a drum roll, rocking the beat. Hey, yo, Dre, where you gonna take this shit, man?
Hey, yo, let's take it to the street. Let them understand perfection. Let knowledge be the tool for suckers to stop guessing. Cause I don't give a fuck about a radio play. Observe the English.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Source Material. I am your host, Jesse Starcher, and tonight I am excited to bring to you, in an effort to synergize with the rest of the Rattalichin Broadcasting Network this week, a little movie opened up this past Friday, a movie that we actually discussed on one of our previous episodes, the rated R comic book movie Deadpool. While Mark and Robert are covering that on their movie club review this coming Wednesday, it was my distinguished responsibility to find a comic book that was somewhat related that we could all discuss. I found out Deadpool has fought many a Marvel villain and many a Marvel superhero. However, there was a book that got released not too long ago, 4-issue series, called Deadpool vs. Carnage. So I thought to myself, what better way to celebrate such mass bloodletting than getting some of the two of the craziest Marvel characters out there, and that would be Deadpool and Carnage, and my goodness, them facing off with each other, what could possibly go wrong? Now, go ahead and give you guys a spoiler warning, big massive spoiler warning if you'd like to go out and read this book first before you listen to the podcast, because we're going to spoil the crap out of it. Now, I brought on two of my good friends. I've had them both on the podcast before. Both are super fans of these characters. One being Justin Thomas, who is a Deadpool fan throughout. One of the biggest Deadpool fans that I know. So I thought, wow, you know, it'd be great to get him on here and discuss this book. The other is, and you guys probably all already know this man, the man who gave me my shot at doing a podcast and the confidence to maybe venture out on my own. We've heard him on here doing our coverage of Maximum Carnage, and that is one host of the Cheap Seats, Jason Teasley. So we get to discuss just who's crazier, who can eat more tacos, who can leave a bigger body count, who can spill the most guts. Before we get into the show, I'd like to thank you all for listening yet again. Don't hesitate to check us out on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. Just go and search Rattalich and subscribe to the Rattalichin Broadcasting Network. That's RADULICH. And you can subscribe to all the great podcasts that the network offers. We cover music, we cover MMA, we cover movies, sports, you name it. Please give the Rattalichin Broadcasting Facebook page a like. You can stay up on top of all the great podcast content that we have. Thanks again for listening. Let's get on with it. Chimichangas!
This program contains adult content. Parental discretion is advised.
We're talking Deadpool versus Carnage. Justin, you said you had the trade there, and there is, what is it called, Superior Carnage, number one?
Superior Carnage, annual number one.
Annual number one. So give me an idea of what happens in that one.
Basically, it's coming right off a storyline. It says, there's like a newspaper clipping right here in the front. It says, recently, the Carnage symbiote was stolen by the Wizard. He used it to launch a supervillain attack on City Hall.
Okay.
Spider-Man was able to stop the Wizard and Carnage, but only by offering the alien its former host, Cletus Cassidy. Before the pair could fully bond, a stray bolt of lightning struck them both, knocking them out to be captured safely. And it says here, another article, it says, Cassidy back behind bars. After his contact with symbiote at City Hall, Cletus Cassidy has seemingly regained some brain function. Prosecutors are currently determining if he's fit to stand trial. So you have Cletus Cassidy talking to this guy. I'm not really sure who he is, but basically he's the one who put him into the general population of prison instead of like the supervillain prison.
Okay. Which is not a good idea. We can all attest to that right now. I mean, just knowing who Cletus Kasady is. Why is he wanting to put him in general population? The doctor's going to clear him, say he's not psychotic anymore?
I think basically it turned out to be like a tactic to get him killed, actually.
Okay. So they're trying...
The guy that put, you know, that's behind it all, you know, that's trying to get him the populace, which they do, ends up paying off this criminal to shank him.
Okay. All right.
So he gets shanked, and at the same time he gets shanked, the Carnage symbiote, which is located on Spider Island 2, it says. So the symbiote's basically, as he's getting stabbed, the symbiote's freaking out and stuff as well. The Carnage symbiote's freaking out.
Okay,
as well.
So there's some kind of like parallel. Like if he feels pain, this thing starts feeling pain because they're that. What's the word? Connected.
Yes.
Okay.
But it turns out that not only there's this, you know, this symbiote. There's actually samples that were given to other scientists that I guess Spider-Man had added chemicals to them so they couldn't regenerate.
Okay.
So that they could actually do research on the symbiote.
Okay.
So anyways, you have the Carnage symbiote dies. Cletus Kasady is basically on his deathbed.
Okay.
And then you come to one of these laboratories that has one of the samples from the symbiote. And it's just, you know, lifeless. There's not much to it. Well, anyways, it just all of a sudden begins to, you know, become
alive.
Become fully alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it joins with a host. A lady from a laboratory with a very abusive husband.
So we got like a new Carnage?
It's still the same symbiote, it's just a part of it.
Okay. Alright, so it joins to this new host. I'm gonna guess what happens next. She kills her abusive husband.
Yep, pretty much. She comes home and he's all being a jerk and she takes him out.
Okay.
And of course then they have Cletus Kasady here. He's still on his deathbed.
He's trying to make his way back from the shank, but it ain't happening.
He says here that basically that he can feel that the main one had died and that the little one was still alive.
It's just a wee little Carnage.
He says he could feel it. He could sense it. So anyways, the lady drives herself to a little gas station, and literally pretty much the guy, you know, she's suffering because the symbiote hasn't accepted her.
Okay.
So she's really suffering from the effects of it draining her completely.
Mm-hmm.
So she vomits up the symbiote.
Nice.
And it takes over to the guy at the gas station, the guy that runs the gas station.
She does what now?
Vomits up the symbiote. The symbiote literally is coming out like puke.
Okay.
And then it takes over the guy at the gas station.
Oh, okay. So it's just jumping from host to host here. Okay.
Exactly. So, and of course, it kills, you know, the guy possessed by the symbiote kills her.
Wow.
And Cassie's still on his deathbed, and the guy that's was behind the whole trying to get him in the populace is right there, and he suffocates him with a pillow.
Okay.
So Cletus Kasady's dead.
Something's going to happen here. The symbiote's got to make his way to the prison.
Anyways, the gas station guy then turns, finds another guy, passes it on to him.
Just like a virus.
He passes it on to a truck driver. He passes it on to, well, I assume this guy kind of looks like a preacher is what I can assume. He kind of has like the pilgrim hat kind of deal.
Okay. I can see where this is going.
Is this symbionite herpes?
I hope not.
So the preacher goes to a restaurant through the drive-thru, and the drive-thru guy gets taken over, right?
I thought the preacher was going to like do the last rites, or not last rites, but go presume over the dead body at the prison, but okay.
Well, I'm just happy he didn't go to a Cub Scout meeting.
No. That could have been bad.
So in turn, the symbiote fast food worker finds the warden of the prison.
Okay, finally. So he's made his way to the warden, and I assume what happens next is the warden makes his way back to the prison.
He makes his way inside. The guards are a little uneasy because he isn't really speaking to them.
I would, if I was a prison guard and Cletus Kasady was, you know, pronounced dead, I would want a second opinion.
I'd hack off his arms and legs.
It's a smart move, but, you know, okay, so what happens here, Justin?
So, like I said, Cletus Cassidy is dead. He actually is pronounced dead. He's in the morgue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the warden, possessed by the symbiote, goes into the morgue. And, of course, there's the guy that was behind the whole thing, killing Cletus Cassidy. You find out that the guy knows that the warden is possessed by the symbiote. And
okay.
That the guy wants the symbiote to choose him. That's why he killed Cletus Cassidy.
Okay. So he's making a play to try and get possessed.
Exactly. He's trying to get taken over by the symbiote so he can have power.
It's a bit of a stretch. I mean, this guy was hoping. So what happens here? How does... Cletus has got to get the symbiote because we're obviously going to be talking Deadpool versus Carnage. How in the world does that happen?
The guy tells the symbiote slash warden about his plan. The symbiote, in turn, turns him down and just tongue lashes him across the room, right into the wall.
Tongue lash.
I mean, literally, the tongue can hit the long tongue and teeth are showing in the warden, and it just lashes him.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you see is the warden leaning over the table in the morgue with Cletus's body. The symbiote covers Cletus, and Carnage is back.
Man, now, okay, because there is a point in this particular book where I actually, you know, I asked myself a couple, and we'll get to this too, but remember that, folks. Cletus Cassidy was dead, and Carnage, the symbiote, brought Cletus Cassidy back to life. Anything else in that particular episode, particular issue?
Well, Carnage in turn then begins the killing spree.
Okay, all right.
He of course, gets, you know, takes care of the guy that was behind the whole plot.
Mm-hmm.
Security guards, doctors, prisoners, until he finds the prisoner that shanked him.
Yeah, I figure he probably eviscerated that dude.
And he says to the guy, he tells him that it wasn't personal, the shrink, the head doctor, he paid me to shiv you, man. So it was the shrink that was the one that was trying to kill Cletus Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
So he says to Carnage, he said, that's the guy you want. Carnage in turn says, I already took care of him, but you know, stabbing someone in the back like you did, I like your style. An invitation is the sincerest form of slaughter, and he kills him.
Of course.
And then the jailbreak.
Okay. So he gets out of there, and then, so apparently they're just tying in kind of like the origin story, what happened with Cletus Cassidy, and how Carnage has come back and is now again on the loose.
Exactly.
All right. All right, so Deadpool versus Carnage. First off, Teasley, you got anything you want to say about that, what you just heard?
No, I'm good. I mean, that pretty much covers a lot of Carnage history and gives you a little insight about how screwed up in the head Cletus Cassidy actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And goes on to show that the bond was a little bit more than the one that the Venom bond when Eddie Brock took on the Venom symbionite and everything. The Carnage spawn took the Cassidy and they developed a more in-depth bonding than what Vintage and Eddie did. And it goes to show how twisted that the whole character of Carnage actually is, because they're both set on pure utter chaos.
Yeah.
And you get to see it a little bit in the first three issues, not so much the fourth issue of this arc we're about to cover.
Yeah. You're right. It's like those two get together, it's insanity compounded with insanity.
Crazy is, though, is the just a small sample of Carnage with, you know, Taney with the chemical still was able to accomplish all this.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. Well, okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do a quick synopsis of issue one, and then I'm going to get into the questions and stuff here. Deadpool versus Carnage, let me first go ahead and give props to our creative team in regards to this book. Our writer is a guy by the name of Cullen Bunn. The artist is a guy by the name of Salva Espin. Cullen Bunn seems like I swear I've heard that name before. I can't name any particular titles that he's done or any particular stories. So issue one picks up kind of where Justin just left off, where Carnage is in this diner, and he slaughters a bunch of people in this diner, makes the news, And we got Deadpool sitting at home who catches the news and decides that he is going to... There's nobody crazier to take down Carnage than Deadpool. And there's some allusions to when he's watching this TV of some... It's like he's picking out things that are sticking out to him, telling him to go and do this.
As he's changing the channels.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, he's putting all these words together, or these sentences. But anyway, he has now the drive to go and find Carnage and try and take him out. Deadpool ends up finding Carnage, who, after killing all these people in this diner, is just hanging out at this house, which...
Can I throw in the bird splatting against the window?
That sealed the deal for Deadpool. He's sitting there and he's trying to figure out if that's what he needs to do, and then this bird, this white dove, I think, flies off, and, you know, he kind of watches it and it just goes right into the freaking window. That's a sign. And what you'll see here a lot of... Matt,
I gotta point this out. I don't know if you guys caught it. It's one of the funniest things I caught in this first issue. Did you guys notice that when he's saying, give me a sign, the off to the right, the comic code billboard?
Yeah. Captain
and
America.
And it says, be good and you'll be approved. And I guess it's kind of tongue-in-cheek when you put a Deadpool and Carnage comic book together that is so out there and just so going to be gratuitously violent to throw a comic code reference in.
That is true. Good point, man.
As Deadpool's just right in the middle of the public, he's like, what is this, performance art? Someone says living statues. Does he just stand there, pause, wait?
It takes all kinds.
He's just standing there, paused, waiting for his sign.
This is...
There's shelters for people like you.
This is one of the things about the Deadpool books. A lot of humor, as if you guys couldn't figure out. If you're new to the game and you don't know who either of these characters are, we're going to talk a little bit about them here. But Deadpool is definitely on the very humorous side of things. Carnage is, I think he's more psychotic, and some of that psychosis turns into some humor. Deadpool is more along the lines of funny, and he's got a little bit of psychosis too. These two are definitely made for each other. So seeing them fight, you know, Deadpool versus Carnage, it is definitely, it just seems like these two fit together and would be it's going to be a great book to read. But we're a lot of humor in Deadpool books, that's for sure. This particular fight, after you know, Deadpool follows the signs, such as, which was just a, this happens throughout this whole particular, you know, these four issues, where Deadpool's following these signs that have nothing to do, there's nothing to do with Carnage, other than the fact that he's just following random stuff to try and lead him to Carnage.
A butcher.
Yeah, there's a butcher with blood on his boots, and he's leaving a track, or no, this guy picked up... this guy picked up a bloody package from a butcher, which leads him to the butcher shop, which then leads him to Fatality Fighters.
I love that part. The kid, the kid where he's saying, punch, punch, kick, groin punch, up, up, down, down, left, right, now, cha-cha. And the kid just looks back at him, and he's like, what's up?
And then it just said, and then the game says Carnage.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? All this crazy little stuff starts coming together.
Did you notice the comics?
I was looking at them. I didn't really, nothing really stood out to me except for the weird Soccer World one with, I want to know who that guy is on the front of Soccer World.
There's Avengers versus X-Men and there's Wolverine.
Oh, I do see those. I mean,
the Uncanny X-Men.
Soccer World, though. Come on. What's up with Soccer World guy?
He's happy.
He's definitely happy. So anyway, yeah, all these signs end up leading somehow to right outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where one Cletus Casty in his tidy whities is enjoying the morning breeze, also the morning rocket that comes and just destroys his freaking house.
Yeah, because Deadpool's going to kick him right in the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Right in the cul-de-sac.
And the rocket, I love how it says, hi.
I didn't even see that. Let me look at that.
It's got the Deadpool symbol on it. Yep. Says hi.
There it is. Boom! House explodes. Is Cletus Casty dead? Of course not. He's He's got the symbiote who protects him. He immediately wraps himself up. Deadpool walks over to try and take him out with a few shots.
I gotta add, that'll pucker your tentacular little sphincter, won't it, Carnage? Old chum.
Your tentacular little sphincter.
I gotta add that.
So we got our first fight. Carnage versus Deadpool right here. It's a decent fight. We got stuff going. You know, we got Carnage using his tendril weapons that he uses. Changes his arms into axes and shields and stuff like that. We're going to keep track here tonight. What we're going to call the gruesome injury scenes. Because there's about one in every book that take it to the next level. And at the end of the show tonight, I want you guys to pick your favorite, okay? Because I got them written down here, and we'll kind of go through them. I'd say number one is on this one right here. The first one that we get to see is when Carnage goes after Deadpool, and Deadpool shoves his arm, his hand into Carnage's mouth, loaded with a grenade, and then the grenade explodes inside Carnage's head. Of course, taking most of Deadpool's fingers and hand, well, pretty much his hand with him. So you get to see a laid out Carnage there with his the symbiote just blown backwards off of his head here.
And Deadpool's middle finger grows first on his hand.
Oh my gosh! Another thing I didn't catch.
I didn't catch that one either.
It's the first finger that grows back out of all the fingers.
Nice.
Until you just said that, I looked at it and I noticed that you know, it's true. He's flipping you off.
Did you also catch how he's constantly using redneck taunts at him?
Oh, ooh. Yes, that is funny. He said, let me put it to you in terms that you'd understand. Your drippy redneck ass.
Wow.
I like the part though with the grenade that he goes, yeah, I think I left some of my fingers inside you in case, you know, you poop them out. Just flush them through, I'll grow more. And then, of course, the middle finger.
Wow. So there's Carnage laying there on the ground. And, you know, Deadpool has got his sword drawn.
I got to point this one out.
What do you see?
I like the fact when he says, me and the ladies are going to get freaky dicky.
On your extraterrestrial
yeah.
ride. he said, me and the ladies are going to get freaky.
Man, so Carnage is, you know, he's about to bite the big one here. Deadpool's going to take him out right here, first issue. If it isn't for a large, I'll go ahead and do my best, Shrakroom, that pretty much blows Deadpool's face clean off. There's no eyelids there. His lips are gone. It's almost like, you know, it's practically a skull.
Not in the face.
Not in the face. And it's Shriek, Carnage's gal pal, as I believe she's referenced to in this series, Shriek. So she shows up, kind of saves the day. We're at the end of issue one, to be continued.
Straight out of Maximum Carnage.
Yep. That is a book that me and Teasley did cover. And Benjamin J. Cologne. Well, that was a long one, too. Yeah, that was a two-parter, 14 issue. Whew. That was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of work. And yes, that was the first time I think I had actually learned all about who Shriek was. In case you guys haven't noticed, and I'm talking to our listeners.
I was going to say, I never noticed anything.
You never notice anything.
I'm surprised I'm awake.
I have right here, on this podcast, right now, I got the two guys that I thought were going to be the, let's just say the experts that I know. I got the two guys I think that are either, they can be experts, considered experts, or the biggest fans of each one of these characters. Now I'm talking Jason Teasley, who a lot of people, if you've listened to this show before, know that Jason Teasley is a Cletus Cassidy Carnage fan. Also, I brought on here Justin Thomas, my good buddy Justin Thomas, who is a huge, looking at the Skype avatar right now, it is Deadpool. So he is a huge Deadpool fan. So what we're going to do here real quick, Teasley, I'm going to turn it over to you. And we just talked about this big fight between these two guys. You want to give your best, description of who Carnage is and
Carnage is my comic book alter ego. A lot of people say evil ginger with a cynical sociopathic side for a homicidal chaos. Basically, Cletus Cassidy, not the most stable individual, comes from a really twisted, messed up background where, you know, he killed his parents and pretty much killed an entire orphanage.
Yep.
Just because he was different and people, and he just has a really dark, dark sense of humor. I say sense of humor because everything he does in a way that is entertaining to him and he finds pleasure and joy out of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is the absolute definition of a sociopath, a psychosociopath as the symbionite that the Carnage symbionite that bonds with him is just as screwed up in the head as Cletus is. That's why they make the perfect pairing. Because if I remember correctly, I could be wrong because it's been so long since I read it. When the Venom symbionite broke Eddie Brock out of the cell and this piece was left behind, it was done so as a shedding of the waste, per se, of the Venom, and it was basically an outcast. So when it bonded with a psycho outcast in real life, it was the perfect pairing, and then you get utter chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You get the perfect storm for the ultimate killing machine that has no conscience, no real purpose other than chaos. That's the best description I can give of Carnage and Cletus Cassidy as a whole, is just sociopathic, maniacal individuals that think death and utter chaos is pleasurable.
Okay. Justin, Deadpool fan, numero uno. Now, I learned something from you last time I had you on here, and that was when I was talking about Deadpool and I called him a mutant. I found out that that was not the case. So, other than the fact that he's not a mutant, can you give us your best description of Deadpool?
Deadpool is basically a product of Weapon X. I mean, he had a pretty much a rough family life from what I've read. He had a rough family life. Ended up getting cancer in his life, and that's what led him to Weapon X. So they injected him with Wolverine's mutant healing factor, which, with his cancer, it's constantly mutating, you know, it's constantly scarring his body and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of permanently healing like you normally would, like Wolverine would, because of the cancer, you know, he's always never healing correctly.
Okay.
And of course, on top of that, he's cursed with life from Thanos.
Yeah, this, I think we talked a little bit about this on that episode too, because you guys mentioned about how it's, you say cursed with life. When you say that, what do you mean?
Can never die, ever, because Thanos was in love with death. He cursed it with life because Deadpool also had a thing with death also.
Okay.
So this way, Deadpool can never be with death.
Have you ever seen an issue where Deadpool had his mouth sewn shut?
Can't say I have.
Just wanted to make sure we got that out there, folks.
Can't say that I have. He's always, that's his thing, he's always talking, he's the merc with the mouth, and even when he's not talking, he still has those voices in his head that are constantly talking as well.
Yeah, let me touch on that real quick. You talk about the voices. We're reading four issues here. Was there at any point, I don't think the voices showed up in this particular story arc, did they?
I didn't see the voices, but at one time, one of those voices was actually the character Madcap from Marvel Comics.
Who's Madcap?
Madcap basically, I think, had some fights with Daredevil back in the day.
Okay.
And Madcap pretty much was, just like Deadpool, pretty much indestructible. The guy could literally cut his arm off and put it back on. I think he got in a fight with Deadpool one time, and somehow their bodies merged, and he became one of Deadpool's voices.
Voices?
Wow. And then they end up separating not too long ago, if I remember so, but at one time, yeah, Madcap was one of the voices.
And I say that the voices don't show up, because most of the Deadpool books that we see, the voices are actually different. You know, I want to say word balloons, but you know, different text boxes.
Yeah.
You'll see one color this, and another voice is this color.
One is logic, and the other one's pretty much crazy.
Yeah. Now you don't see that in here. I mean, it's almost like it's kind of there, but you don't see it because he's, you know, we talked about him watching the TV and him flipping the channels and supposedly getting these words, or making this sentence and putting these clues together to find Carnage. It's almost like they're there, but we're not seeing his insanity that like we normally do.
I also want to throw out that Carnage doesn't refer to himself as we also.
I didn't pick that up.
Yeah, he doesn't use the singular, he doesn't share the, because usually when you see Carnage pop up, it's always a dual identity, because you have Cletus and you have Carnage. But in this, I was going to point that out too, when we got later on, mm-hmm. I think he only does it one time in the entire four issues. He only refers to it as we.
I was going to say.
Like, I think it's in issue four.
Do you mind the voices and stuff not being there, Justin? The fact that, I mean, that's kind of a staple in Deadpool books, but is that something that bothered you at all in this particular story?
It didn't really bother me. I missed them, you know, just to see what they would say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm all right with it, though, but like I said, I do miss them.
It doesn't feel like a Carnage comic because you don't have that dual identity of Carnage, and it's interesting. It kind of took me out of the whole arc because, like I said, reading it, you read Maximum Carnage. You got all the dual identity. You see so many references as the we, the us, the symbiote and Cletus as a tandem. In this, it's singular, and it's kind of took me out.
Mm. And all the years of Venom also were so used to that from Venom.
A mark against the writer is the fact that it's almost like he didn't get the characters... I don't want to say right, because there's a lot more to go in this book, but there's a couple things that are missing with each of these characters that this writer either purposely did not do, which he may have made a conscious effort to say, okay, well, I don't want to do the stupid word boxes. I don't want to do the stupid wee thing. That might have been his take on it, but I hear you guys. Teasley, why the redneck jokes? Is this something that was...
Cletus...
I mean, as Cletus, I guess first off, my first clue should be his name.
Yeah, Cletus was it. It's an ongoing thing that I've noticed in a couple of Carnage books I read, is they make fun, they can get to Cletus Cassidy simply because of his name, and they can, because if you think about it, Cassidy is actually a highly intelligent individual,
mm-hmm.
to be such a sociopath, and it's basically a derogatory thing that, you know, nobody's giving him respect simply because his name is Cletus, which is a backwoods name if you lived in Kentucky. Yes, I want to make that joke. it's a way to get the, like, pretty much quote unquote poke the bear.
Okay, but in what you've read that involved Carnage, I mean, that was not, he was not brought up as a backwoods guy, right? He wasn't brought up in the country.
They make fun of him because, I mean, yeah, it's poking the bear. It's a way to get to the past the symbionite side and actually get to the Cletus side.
I got you.
And
it's Deadpool.
Yeah, that's basically. True.
Yeah, and it's to, like, basically break Cletus down and you know, reveal a weakness. Because, gotcha. Like I said, Cletus is actually a highly intelligent individual. Mm. But it's like if somebody, you know, if you're intelligent and somebody basically sits there and talks down to you like you're a inbred sociopath that, you know, bumps uglies with his cousin, you're going to take offense to it, and what's one thing that, as a human, do? If your anger takes control, you make irrational decisions. Like I said, it's just, especially, you know, coming from Deadpool, you know, who tends to just run his cock holster and get under anybody's skin regardless.
Oh, yeah.
It's a way for him to show, to get Cletus to show a weakness that he can exploit, mm-hmm. to help defeat him.
Issue 2. So our fight continues. We got a faceless Deadpool. Carnage is back to form. Shriek is sitting there smiling. We get a few talks about chaos here. You know, Cletus is talking about...
Isn't she standing?
Oh, yes, she's standing. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thanks for pointing that out. She is standing there. Jerk. Deadpool, of course, is trying to... He's running his mouth continuously. And he gets impaled by Carnage's tendrils there. I love the fact that somehow Deadpool has these iPhone speakers that are loud enough to practically blow the symbiote off of Cletus. And specifically, he plays some dubstep and knocks, which you look at these speakers. I kid you not. They're no more, you know, a foot high maybe at that. But they're powerful enough to blow the symbiote
off.
They look like.
I want to point two things out. First, the speakers look like Hewlett Packard external speakers that you would get back in the 90s.
For your computer.
Secondly, is it me, or as it's showing Deadpool without his mask, he looks like the Swamp Thing from the 80s.
He don't look too healthy. He don't look too healthy. But it's neat to watch how from panel to panel. I mean, right at the beginning, he's got no, you know, it's just muscle on his face. But as things progress throughout panel to panel, you see how fast his healing factor kicks in, because within two pages, his face is fully grown back. He just doesn't have any hair. And this is in the midst of that battle. He's got the symbiote off of Cletus, or at least, you know, somewhat off of Cletus. And of course,
he does it with illegally downloaded dubstep. Because he doesn't deserve sonic torture that's been paid for.
he blasts him with it. A Shriek steps in, of course, fires her her shots off, and then Deadpool thinks he gets the upper hand with some incendiary grenades and doesn't realize that Shriek can fly off. Carnage, just shoves this huge tentacle right through Deadpool. You know, of course, this is like the first time of like five that we get to see Deadpool's guts in this particular book, in these four books. Shriek grabs Cassidy, flies up, they saves him from the fire, which we do know weakness. I guess we should have covered this. Weaknesses for the symbiote when they are attached to a host is sound, which we just covered. We talked about how Deadpool hit him with some dubs, illegally downloaded dubstep. He doesn't like fire, isn't that right?
No, I actually don't think fire is.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's more like, they don't like it, but I mean, I don't think it's a...
tremendous weakness.
I think it's more or less it's an annoyance rather than a weakness. Because when he throws the incendiary grenades, I think it's more the boom factor than it is the fire factor.
Okay. Now, this particular issue felt like it was just kind of a filler issue. I mean, we pick up with the fight, which is awesome. But, you know, Shriek and Carnage get away. Deadpool is knocked out as his healing factor kicks in. He wakes up, and I think he's going to go get some gear. And he finds out that the storage building, this is just Deadpool humor right here. His storage building has been auctioned off. And lo and behold, it's been auctioned off to this, it's not his biggest fan from what we find out. But he likes, he doesn't say superheroes, it's just a weird kind of thing. This guy buys this storage locker, or this storage unit, and has all Deadpool's gear in it, another costume and all sorts of other different stuff. Deadpool tracks the guy down, goes and talks to him. Turns out this big dude wearing Deadpool's costume rather doesn't fit him well. Okay, we'll just put it that way. This guy's about, I don't know, 400 pounds, and he's trying to wear Deadpool's costume.
The Blob. It about looked, as big as the Blob.
That's what it reminded me of.
Did you notice?
That's who I thought it was at first.
That's who I thought it was, too, actually. Did you notice that the key ring he has for the storage locker has Spider-Man on it?
No, I did not see that. Nice little touch.
I like how he says here, it was sold while he was traveling through the multiverse, killing off evil versions of himself.
Leroy Saint German Dagnasty.
Dagnasty.
That's the guy who bought it?
No, that's what he says his name is when he says he gives the name for his storage locker. I think that might need to be my new alter ego. That's how I'm going to sign the paper now.
And she's completely all right that he says guns are in it and all this stuff.
Yeah, like, I got spare outfits and guns and
enough ammo to choke the NRA.
That's it's just messed up. And he goes and finds this dude, and the guy supposedly has some connections to Carnage, which, I mean, he doesn't really go into a whole lot other than the fact that the first place that Carnage went to was Doverton, which is, I think that was his last name, was Doverton. This is just a weird thing, because this guy doesn't even pop back up in the rest of the issues. Just something that was totally out there off the wall.
Yeah, I thought that they was gonna make this guy some kind of integral part of the story.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't.
And after he says that he's synced in with them and says something, and he's gone. And not to be heard from again. And it's like, okay, you could at least killed him off, had him traveling, and him die.
But something.
No, just not hear from him again. He's just going to hang out in his... Let it hang out with his wang out and his belly.
His belly.
And
his butt's hanging out when he's walking back in. That's
a lot of ass crack to draw.
I also wanted to point out real fast here on the map, Jesse.
Yeah.
He's following Deadpool's locations. Did you notice there's a dot on Southeast Ohio?
Oh, there is right there. Just, that's not too far from us. Right, and is there any in West Virginia?
Did he come to visit?
He might have. You never know.
There, hold on. West Virginia and Kentucky seem to
they are
be
together.
The same state.
There are some people that do would not agree with that.
Yeah, it's just
that ain't right.
It's just and it looks there's not even a. I mean, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, at least make the effort, conscious effort. But no, just. But there's two in Kentucky, so, I mean, you know.
I thought West Virginia was in Louisiana.
Oh, that's right. I remember seeing that. Yeah, well, you guys were right down there by the...
Louisiana.
all those memes I saw.
Justin.
Oh, that was...
What do you think of this little, I mean, the big dude here and what happened? I mean, is this something you commonly see in Deadpool books where, I mean, just... Kind of random crap happens and you don't hear about it again. Just a
kind of like a random sidekick person usually.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call this a random sidekick guy. I guess you could in some way, but I mean, this was like something that was like, okay, we've got to get Deadpool to Cletus somehow. Deadpool, we got to get Deadpool to Carnage. So we got to figure out how Deadpool's going to find out where Carnage is at. And they just randomly throw this guy in there to like put the two together again. No rhyme, no reason. Which
kind of put him on track to the patterns again, I guess, the signs.
Okay, all right.
Because he had no patterns after.
Well, I mean,
after Carnage left.
Yeah, but you could have done that with so differently. I mean, you've used the TV. I mean, hell, he could have went to the internet and you know used it like that, but and not had this. I think it would have been funny if they would have made this the guy who got the locker made it like a just some kind of random thing, and then have like had Deadpool show up and it like say Peter Parker on the mailbox and him go, well, that's not gonna happen.
Or even Bob from Hydra, his usual sidekick.
Is that who that... I think I know who you're talking about there. I think I've seen that a couple times.
That would have been hilarious. if he would have been Bob's address.
Yeah, you could have just...
Threw somebody in there they knew.
Yeah, you could have just done it. Yeah, you could have just done it to where it's like, you know, he gets to the address and he looks down and he looks up and just like, sees like the, you know, Professor X school of the gifted and he goes, well, shit. That ain't happening. And just turns around and walks off. Because it would have been a nice throw off, and it would have followed the Deadpool humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you could have been like, and like having looking on eBay for Deadpool stuff, and you know, and then he's looking for Deadpool stuff, he comes across, you know, he sees keywords in a Deadpool ad on Craigslist, and that's how he finds Carnage.
Like I said, or Bob living in his mom's basement, dressed up as a Hydra agent. I mean. I just think it'd be hilarious for bring Bob into it.
I guess I could see the point with the, you know, he's got to get back to the signs, which it kind of is. He's following the trail, which is what he started out in the beginning, was trying to follow this trail, as nonsensical as it was. Again, this has led him to this guy that supposedly knows all this stuff. So he finds out where Carnage is heading, proceeds to hijack... a combine on the freeway. Luck has it that he's right. This is Deadpool, by the way. Deadpool's carjacked a combine right in front of Cletus Kasady, turns it on, and proceeds to like maul this car and a few others on this freeway as they're going down the road. Just crazy, crazy visual. Shriek ends up getting hurt. Carnage jumps out of the car. He is pissed. And we have the end of issue 2. we're getting ready for a big battle. Deadpool's got both his swords drawn. Carnage has got his hands in the air, and it's going to be on. As he says, let's do this thing, Carnage versus Deadpool, round two. And, of course, what does Deadpool say, Justin?
I think you mean Deadpool versus Carnage. because evidently, you know, he's aware that he's a comic book character, you know?
Yeah. Teasley, did you know that about Deadpool, that he's like... He breaks the fourth wall a lot, like...
He breaks the fourth wall?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only familiarity I've had with Deadpool is, you know, the couple episodes you've done, like Deadpool kills literary works of art.
Illustrated.
And, you know, and, I mean, I know a little bit of backstory that he is, he's one of the most overrated characters, according to people, because... of the fact that he does break the fourth wall, and it's kind of like the snarky wrestling fan that is a lot of comparisons that Deadpool gets.
Well,
and I can understand the intrigue of it, and I think it's funny. I think it's funny that how Deadpool came about. Justin, you being the big Deadpool fan, do you know how that came about?
Yeah,
kind of like Marvel came up with the idea of Deadpool.
He's a parody of Deathstroke.
Yeah, I didn't know that for the longest time. And then, you know, it's like, you know...
Slade Wilson, Wade Wilson.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was Marvel's, like, just kind of a rib on DC that how Deadpool even came about. Because if you look at Deathstroke, he's a very militant individual, very serious, doesn't take no shit.
Scheming.
And then you get Deadpool, who is the complete opposite, just doesn't shut up, is annoying as hell, and just, with the upcoming movie, Ryan Reynolds is the perfect cast as Deadpool.
I agree.
And I so hope we can forget the attempt that they tried to make Deadpool in the X-Men Origins Wolverine, because that was atrocious. Once they took the Ryan Reynolds out of Deadpool, yeah.
Why would you do that?
Arm swords, optic blast.
Baraka with his mouth sewn shut. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
Deadpool is one of two characters in the Marvel Universe that knows they're comic book characters.
She-Hulk.
Rick James.
Rick Jones?
Rick James.
I thought it was She-Hulk.
I was gonna say I know Rick James. Rick Jones is.
Where? Okay, explain. How do you? Is this? He knew he was a comic book character. I've never seen him. Now I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. I'm just saying I've never read anything where he's ever done that. Is that something that you've read in the past, or you just saw online, or what'd you see?
It's something I've read in the past.
Huh. I did not know that. I knew She-Hulk did somehow, because I think her run back in the 80s or 90s, I think it was early 90s, maybe late 80s. But anyway, I know she self-referenced the comic that she was in. She found out about it. So maybe there's three then. I was thinking Deadpool was unique in that factor, and then you're right. I just thought that, I just remembered it was, She-Hulk was one of them, now Rick Jones, so... Interesting, but of course, you know, you don't see that with She-Hulk or Rick Jones anymore, as far as I know. I don't know about Rick Jones.
I think it had to do with when Rick Jones has something to do with the Supreme Intelligence, I think is
what.
I was just going to say, and your shriek getting hurt, that's an understatement.
She gets what? A tire to the face or something?
Windshield to the face.
Oh, yeah. It's because he slams on the brakes, or she. No, excuse me. They hit a combine.
I want to point out something that really pisses me off. These covers literally piss me the fuck off.
Why? What's wrong?
To the point where I want to angrily type.
Oh, I can see where Teasley's coming from.
Look, if you look at Carnage...
On issue two. Carnage, yeah.
Issue three. Look at the cover of issue three, how they got Carnage drawn.
He looks more like an alien.
It looks like a freaking frog.
Yeah, like an alien. Yeah. Amphibian.
It's... I mean, whoever done these covers...
Issue 2 is the same way.
They need... Yeah.
Let me look at this real quick.
Issue 1 isn't that bad. Issue 1 is... I mean, the way they done it is... He looks like Ultron on issue 1.
I will say the cover of Superior Carnage Annual number 1 looks freaking awesome.
I'm looking at issue 1 right now. These are the same guys, though. You know what? The cover artists... Well, Glenn Fabry and Adam Brown did these covers, apparently.
You know what needs to happen to Glenn Fabry and Adam Brown? They need fucking neutered.
Well, why change? It's so weird because it changes for the Carnage, you know.
The entire character.
It changes from every...
On the cover of the first one, Carnage looks more like Venom. Like Venom / Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get the two, he looks like an anorexic, and you can see his dick.
What? Wait a second. Now you're going to make me look at that. Why are you going to make me look at that? Was this issue two? Oh, jeez.
Issue two, you can see Carnage's dick. And they don't even try to hide the fact that it's his dick.
That straight up is, man. Jeez Louise.
Please tell me I was not the only one that noticed that.
I'm afraid so. You pointed it out to me.
I believe so.
I was blissfully ignorant up until now.
Yeah,
jeez.
It's like, what? It's
Sweener.
Can I see it?
Can't be unseen.
Yeah, and then you get to issue three, and you got like a... Looks like Deadpool's getting raped by a frog.
It does, too. It looks...
And
it's the same dudes, too, is what's messed up, is that these guys, these cover artists are the same guys, which usually when you see a character being portrayed differently, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's definitely a different artist. That is not the case.
Three has that... I've seen too much hentai to know where this.
Oh
is
no, jeez, Louise!
I mean, that's where what that has going for.
Folks, it's Deadpool versus Carnage. Like the cover says, parental advisory, not for kids. That should probably be at the beginning of this podcast. I might just have to put that on here. As a matter of fact, I might just copy paste and put that on as the. I might put that on as the. The little slideshow
Blog Talk. We got to use. No. Only thing you gotta do is you just gotta put up the cover of issue two.
I am not cropping or pointing out his wiener.
No.
I am not doing that.
Now listen, Linda, listen. Just put up it and say, and just put what's wrong with this picture. That's all you gotta.
That's
do.
All I gotta say, huh?
It's
and
like
tell him to tweet me.
Well, I mean, honestly though, Teasley does have a point because. We had something in our face the whole time during Labyrinth, you know?
Oh, jeez. Gosh.
Look at Watchmen.
Oh, well, they're a little bit overt with that.
I can't watch Watchmen because of blue penis. And now now I can't look at Carnage. And it's such a small penis. I'm not gonna lie. You would think of a supervillain would have a large penis.
Oh,
jeez. You know, maybe it was cold that
this
day.
This is not.
Maybe it was
this
cold
was not
that
in
day.
My notes. I don't remember sending you guys this in the messenger.
All I'm gonna say is, hold on. If you look at the last message I sent to the group chat of you two, be prepared for lack of sleep and Red Bull Teasley.
Oh no.
This is what you get.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, he got wings.
He does have wings.
You want me to stay up?
Let me explain a little something. If you look at that cover of issue two also, you think that Shriek is actually hurt in some way.
I don't want to look.
She is actually, she cannot stand to look at it.
They also have her in her regular outfit, which she never wears.
That's true. She doesn't wear that in here at all. So it's white.
She just wears regular clothing through the whole...
And it's like, there's...
Can't escape it. Thanks, Teasley. As a matter of fact, the reason why Shriek has...
Anything.
The reason why Shriek has her eyes closed and her head turned, she can't unsee it either.
There is no continuity whatsoever.
Yeah.
This pisses me off. And obviously, if you get hit by a combine, your clothes magically change. It hit them so hard that the American flag on her shirt disappears.
I was going to say, at the end of two, it looks like Carnage has some Red Bull in him. He looks like he's got wings when he holds his arms up.
Yeah, I mean, he's ready to cut Wade Wilson to pieces. And as a matter of fact, as we get in the next issue, the third issue here, that is precisely what happens at the end of this third fight, where they're going at it. I don't know how many times Deadpool gets freaking stabbed through the stomach. This has got to be like the fourth or fifth time where he gets stabbed by Carnage right through the stomach. Not just like by one tentacle either. I'm talking like many. Of course, this is all happening on the freeway. Got a lot of stuff going on. This is gruesome injury scene like number 3 or 4.
Oh.
Where he tosses, or excuse me, Carnage tosses Deadpool through the air and so far that he hits an oncoming truck and gets then rolled under the semi. This is a semi truck and drug for like.
His eyeball pops out.
Oh. I mean, this is bad. His arm is like hanging there, like disconnected from the elbow. And he gets up and he's like half, you know, he's half there, but he's still alive. And of course, he's got all these onlookers that are checking, you know, watching him. And this was pretty neat how they did this panel where everybody, you know, you see everybody talking again, but then they show the exact same panel and they highlight the words red that he's picking out of everybody that's talking. The fight is not over. Find him. Stop him.
You also see his ribs and his intestines.
Oh, he's messed up. All right.
I just like the smile he has in the bottom of where it says, "What is Mercury Team?" Just that lovely smile that he displays.
Just like a hockey player.
Missing
yeah, he looks a little. A little messed up.
And he scratches his head.
And then we go to the... He scratches his brain.
His brain.
The rest of this panel, it makes no sense. I mean, this is where it started going off the rails real quick. You get Shriek and Carnage taking his family hostage.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they're in a minivan. It would make you believe it was a minivan, but my understanding is this is actually a Winnebago because there's like 6 rows of seating in this motherfucker. And then all of a sudden, Captain America becomes fucking Reed Richards and starts slithering around the fucking car.
Yeah, have you ever seen Carnage do that before? I mean, where he's... He just stretches his neck out, and he's like in everybody's face, and
yeah, he's not a last.
That's what I was thinking too.
It's like I said, this is where it started going off the rails for me. Like for one, you know, Shriek got hit so hard by the combine, her shirt just she lost the pattern on her shirt. That's how hard they got hit. She's dead.
She looks practically dead.
And Carnage doesn't want to acknowledge it. And this is something we find out later, that all of a sudden, without no rhyme or reason, she's back, and she's up walking around, and she has her American flag back on her shirt.
It's also that Carnage finally accepts Deadpool's point of thinking, kind of, a little bit too, right there in the minivan scene.
Oh, where he's talking about the signs? Chaos, he's all about chaos and randomness. That is Carnage's thing. And he picks this minivan and makes this decision like, okay, where are you going to go? And he's asking this, you know, the dad of the family, what were you guys doing? Where were you guys going? And they're going to these weird places. And he picks this one place, just so happens to be, and we'll get into that here in a second. But let me talk about Carnage and how he's really seriously that scene. I was sitting there questioning the physics. Because I was like, okay, is Cletus' head actually Carnage's head at this point in time, and he's stretching all the way around the van, and if so, how is he detaching his own head from his neck in order to do this? Just like Teasley said, it was really, really strange. There's a couple scenes where you sit there and go, how can he do that? Because I would think that the body could remain untouched, and we'll talk about another part in here. But the body of the host of the symbiote would have to remain untouched and unscathed, and they couldn't just, like, the host doesn't have superpowers. It's the suit that has the superpowers, right?
You can't manipulate the host.
Okay. There you go.
The symbiote can manipulate itself, but it cannot manipulate the host. And in the case with Carnage, he can manipulate his arms, legs, and
he can, like, grow stuff out of him, right? He can grow stuff out of him.
He can project out. But you can't totally manipulate the host, like, detaching the head and flooding it around the damn car.
Okay, yeah. But Carnage makes his way somewhere. Deadpool is following these crazy signs, and just as random as they are, they somehow lead him to the same exact spot where this minivan is left vacated. You know, the Carnage was just at.
And that's what I'm saying right here, that Deadpool doesn't even go that far.
He looks in the van, and it's completely covered in blood. And you find out that this father, mother, daughter, and son were all killed. Or at least you assume that they had to all been killed
by Carnage. Because the van is completely splattered with blood. There's nobody left there. He looks, you know, Deadpool looks down and he sees that stuff, Spider-Man eviscerated. And that's where Deadpool, just like you said, we're at first when this book started, Deadpool was like, oh, me and Carnage are on the same wavelength, man. We're soulmates, I think, is one of the words he used. And now he finds this and he sees that, okay, that's not the case. Clearly, Carnage steps over the line.
I will say Deadpool goes after the people that deserve it. Sometimes he's paid for it, but most of the time he always goes after the people that actually deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of his things. Even though he's an anti-hero, he goes about the wrong way, just like Jesse's favorite.
Punisher.
He would never go this far as well.
But there's nothing that you've read where he's done anything close to...
Oh, no. Okay. Nothing like Carnage has done here.
Okay. So as Deadpool is crossing this deserted town, he starts noticing some crazy things about how, even though this thing looks deserted, there are some things that are off. One of the things he mentions, he says, for a ghost town, it seems awful clean. Turns out there's this big base underneath this town called manned by a group of guys by the name of Mercury Team. As luck would have it, there's a Mercury Team, and it turns out this Mercury Team, these group of guys, are basically a team that was made to take out Carnage. They have, like, these crazy bioweapons where they had used other symbiotes to merge with technology. So they're running this, like, facility. Well, Carnage has found his way there, and he's took out all of Mercury Team. Every single one of these guys are dead. There you go, Teasley. There's Elastic Carnage again. As he's taking out this team, he's got his head floating all over the place.
I like how Carnage takes the team out. Just randomly, he shows up in the ventilation system and shoots himself out, and he's everybody gets kind of shish kebabbed and
sliced in half. Yep.
Which, I mean, him doing it coming out of the ventilation system is a little bit more believable than him just becoming Reed Richards and Elastic Man in the car. Because, you know, if it wouldn't have been the head and it would just been the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's more believable. This is something I'm curious about. One, how does Shriek magically get better? See, this is, like I said, it starts going off the rails here. And it's funny because we're getting ready to find out that there was 5 Symbionites.
Yep.
That was in, but it doesn't, it just like doesn't give any reasoning
there's
for
no
these 5 Symbionites. Yeah,
actually,
there's no excellent, a big plot hole here.
It actually gives the name of a couple of the symbiotes.
Yeah, the,
Yeah, and it's like, and it gives no reasoning why, where they came from or anything.
The only thing that I found was that in the beginning of issue 4, there's a little blurb that I had to go back and reread this a couple times just so I could figure out what exactly happened. But that's where I came up, or that's where I figured out, okay, who Mercury Team was and what it was. But they do not explain that hardly in the comics at all. Very, very little explanation whatsoever, especially about the symbiotes. There's nothing in there whatsoever that explains that. Okay, we'll end issue 3 here real quick. After our cliffhanger of issue 3 is when we get another fight between Deadpool and Carnage, and Carnage dismembers Deadpool. I'm talking like I'd say every joint was separated. Including the neck bone. just leaves Deadpool in a bloody mess and to pieces. So you're thinking that that's about the end. And as Carnage leaves, he says he's also going to blow the place up. Shortly before that happens, though, just like Teasley said, I think it's 4 symbiotes, I think.
Four plus the dog.
Is that okay? All right, I thought the dog was part of that.
Yeah, there's five.
Okay. Well, these symbiotes make their way over to Deadpool's mangled body and start attaching them to him. And there's 4 symbiotes. Do you have the page there, Justin? That last page, issue 3?
Yes.
Okay, do your best to describe... I know you may not know the names off the top of your head, but do your best to describe what we're looking at here with Deadpool and these symbiotes.
Oh, basically, they just all combined with him. His main body and his head looks, you know, just like him, except for the mouth.
Uh-huh.
And then you got a symbiote on the right side. on the right arm, you got a symbiote for the right leg, a symbiote for the left leg, and a symbiote for the left arm.
And that left arm...
This is basically the Power Ranger Deadpool.
Because each of these symbiotes have different colors.
Different abilities.
And different abilities. We come together and, it, this is like the Megazord. The Megazord Deadpool, where everybody, all these symbiotes come together and...
It kind of looks like the Metal Men from DC Comics, kind of.
There you go.
When they all combine together, too.
There you go.
Hey, you want me to ruin this for you?
Oh, sure, Teasley.
Okay, you're looking at the picture.
Right? Oh, no. I think I know where you're going. Immediately, he's going to go to the crotch.
Look. That is actually the head. That is in his crotch. Because you have the symbionite reforming the head, but Wade Wilson's head is actually the crotch. And it bothers me because you have Deadpool's face.
It does look like Deadpool's frowning. It looks like he's upset. He's the crotch.
You know why? Who wants to be the crotch? Nobody wants to be the crotch.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, get out there and see if you can find this picture, because you want to see it, trust me.
This has become the dick joke podcast.
Oh, man. I cannot wait to do the intro for this show when I do it in post-edit, because I'm going to have to explain. Folks, just be ready for a lot of dick jokes, because it's going to happen.
This is not for children. This is not for children, and this is what happens when Teasley doesn't fall asleep on the podcast.
That's right.
Hey,
you ask Teasley, him to stay up.
I think Jesse was right. There is 4 symbiotes, I believe, because that one never disconnects from Deadpool's hand.
It looks like the left arm is the one that's controlling the dog. But if you look, here we go again. Now, if you look at the cover of issue 4, we have a 3-eyed dog that looks like
cybernetic.
Okay, at the last, yeah, looks like he's cybernetic, which is not continuity, folks. You gotta learn it. So you go out of this one looking that it's okay. There's one symbionite that's joined the dog and Deadpool. Then you get to the cover of 4, and it looks like you have robot dog. That is being held together by the 4 symbionites that reform Deadpool.
That's true.
And you got Cyberdog.
I know, yeah. Man. And I'll give you my best take on what happened. This is not an excuse, but I bet you anything. You know, these guys were contacted. Hey, we want you to do a cover for Deadpool versus Carnage. Okay, what's the story about? I honestly think that the explanation that we get in this bit of blurb here at the beginning of this particular issue, where it says, those clues led him to a secret base of the Mercury team, highly trained soldiers with symbiotic weaponry. Now, that could mean one of 2 things. That could mean that they had weapons to take out symbiotes, or that means that they had a combination of weaponry and the symbiotes. I imagine what they did is they said, okay, well, here's the blurb for issue 4. And they told this guy, and this guy's like, oh, okay, cool. Or these 2 guys, whoever did it. And they took it to a level where they were like, okay, this fits exactly like what they said. We got symbiotic weaponry here.
There's 4 guys and 4 symbiotes. That makes...
Yeah, that could very well be, too. Maybe they each had a suit. See, this is something I've never... Either of you guys, first off, Justin, have you ever heard of Team Mercury?
No, totally new to me.
Okay, Teasley?
No, it's totally a
totally
new
brand new.
Now, yeah, I've never heard of them either.
And
even
these,
though the symbionites have names.
Yeah, in this issue, he's naming the symbiotes. He names one of them, I think, Lasher, which is the dog. Another one was
Agony.
Agony?
Yeah, Agony. Lash, Agony.
Riot. Riot lets me move faster than a case of raging diarrhea. Agony makes me strong enough to dish out some real, well, agony.
Okay, so it's Lasher, Riot, and Agony. But it doesn't say the 4th one.
It does not say the 4th one at all in this book. Because when I read this earlier, I was like, what's the 4th one's name? Okay. What was the game after Maximum Carnage? What was it called?
I think there was a Spider-Man game with symbiotes like that.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't Maximum Carnage, though. What was it called? Shoot. Separation Anxiety.
Separation. Yeah.
Separation Anxiety.
That's right.
I remember one of the symbiotes' name was Whiplash.
But Riot, any of those ones pop up into your head, and the names that he's calling these ones?
Riot and Agony sound familiar.
Well,
how about freaking...
Well, the Separation...
Go ahead,
Separation Anxiety was also a story arc.
Yeah, I know. I remember it was based off of that. I'm at the Wikipedia. See also Symbiote, Venom, Carnage, Scream, Phage, Riot, Lasher, and Agony. So what was Phage? I'm looking for a picture. Oh, well, of course. This was Venom. This was the first appearance was Venom Lethal Protector number 4 from May of 1993. Look for Phage here. I want to see what color Phage was. Phage, Symbiote. So there we go. There's our answers as to where the symbiotes come from.
Why's he got to be color? Why we got to be racist? Why we got to... Black Lives Matter.
Yellow. Phage was yellow.
Scream yellow and Hybrid. Lives Matter. Scream and Hybrid are hunted and killed by Eddie Brock. Okay. The Hybrid symbiote was taken in the U.S. government, forcibly separated and bonded to 4 soldiers to battle Carnage. The 4 soldiers come to be known as the Mercury Team.
There it is, dude.
While on another rampage, Carnage kills the Mercury Team without their symbiotes.
Good looking out there, Justin, because now we've got answers as to where this come from. Let me talk about a little bit about issue 4, just kind of jump back in here.
Actually gives the name of the Mercury Team guys, too, on here.
Does it? Okay. They certainly do not get into that at all in regards to Mercury Team. I mean, these guys show up for like maybe 2 panels and they're dead. As they're all cut in half. So they didn't put up much of a fight. Kind of sucks when you're a team that's supposed to go out and hunt Carnage, and then when you are the hunted, you're the most ill-prepared fucking team ever.
So, basically, that would be Phage. It's bonded to Deadpool. Lasher, Phage, Agony, and Riot.
Okay, alright.
But Scream's dead.
Gotcha. So there's our 4. We still get the overarching in this issue 4. We still have the important overarching struggle with Carnage between Fate and Chaos, which I think that is the main part. Obviously, the blood and violence is some of our favorite parts, in my opinion, my favorite parts of this book. But you still have to have somewhat of a story, and it seems like Carnage's struggle with Fate and Chaos is the big one. Now, Deadpool shows up in his newfangled outfit, I guess we would say, his symbiotic outfit, and there's a point where Carnage has overtaken this mental facility, and he's doing his Carnage crazy stuff that he usually does. Deadpool snipes him from a tree outside. Now, Teasley, what do you think about this? Is this Carnage? We know Carnage is pretty powerful, but I mean, it looks like he gets his freaking head blown in half.
Like I said, this 2.5 issues, this is a good story. Then it starts careening way off the rails. And this goes back to a major point that I have. This would never happen. One is because while the symbionite is active or inactive or dormant or whatever you want to say, it is the utmost importance to protect the host, which means it will hear and adjust to protect the host.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to have a sneak attack on it without a diversion. You're not going to be able to just fire a gun without it registering with Simeonite and it acting accordingly. So the bullet would have never got to Carnage.
And it took off. I guess I really, you know, I say it looked like half his head was blown off, but then when you see another picture, it looks like you can see his hair underneath the mask that got blown off. So, albeit it looked like a kill shot, maybe it wasn't. It just blew off part of the symbiote, and then, you know, Cletus was just fine underneath. Lasher gets into it with Carnage. It's pretty, you know, that's pretty crazy. And then Deadpool comes in there with a super speed. I'm just going to go ahead and, again, Carnage gets hit hard enough, apparently, to where his innards are hanging out. Do you see that?
Yeah.
like I said, going off the rails.
How does he have some type of a healing ability?
Well, the symbiote did bring back Cletus Kasse from the dead.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe he does. Maybe there's something in his bloodstream.
Might be the new symbiote.
Okay.
Might be some kind of it was tampered with.
An enhanced power of some sort. Okay, that's true. I mean, he's obviously getting put to the test with Deadpool here. We get another big fight. There's a little bit of trickery, I think, that's done here, where he tricks Shriek into freaking out, thinking that Shriek attacked Lasher when, in fact, it was Carnage. She takes off running. Also, you know...
Which, like I said, I'll totally out of character for Shriek, because she's as crazy as fucking Carnage, so she's not going to be like, oh, I now question my loyalty to you after everything that she has seen, because she goes back to Maximum Carnage, which was one of the most brutal things in the Marvel Universe. Some of the stuff that he done in Maximum Carnage, Shriek's not just going to say, oh, I've seen this, I've had enough, I'm bouncing. That's not going to happen. She was with him through Maximum Carnage. That's where this relationship began.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to just bounce on somebody due to the pettiness that is seen in this.
Yeah. You get a hell of a knockdown, drag-out fight between Carnage, the final battle between Carnage and Deadpool. Carnage ends up getting the upper hand, laying Deadpool out. Deadpool's laying on the ground, got his guts hanging out of him again, when all of a sudden his guts start coming alive and attack Carnage. It hits him, you know, skewers him in the face pretty bad. And he stands up. I mean, this fight, I'm not going to even be able to do it justice, folks. You guys will just have to read the issue, to be honest.
I like the animal spirit thing with Dogpool.
Is Dogpool a thing?
Yeah, Dogpool is a thing.
Oh, wow.
And there's a panda that looks like Deadpool, a penguin, and a jackalope.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's what's in the picture anyway, but Dogpool is a thing.
Dogpool is a thing. Shriek ends up running down the hallway. Deadpool ends up, Deadpool ends up grabbing her.
I'd rather just call him Hybrid Pool, because pretty much that's what he is.
Yeah, that's true.
He's hybrid.
He's got these symbiotes off, you know, hanging off of him. So he grabs Shriek. Throughout this whole issue, Cletus/Carnage is trying to deal with the fact that it's random chaos. He doesn't want to follow these. He doesn't want to follow these signs that Deadpool's always talking about. And he gets so upset because Deadpool's opened his eyes to these signs and the fact that fate is driving him to where he's at. And so at one point he runs into this crazy guy who's laying in a kitchen who's talking about these muffled screams that he heard, and he figures out that it's Shriek. He goes to find her and he ends up seeing a Deadpool standing in the middle of this room. Carnage thinks he's got the jump on him, jumps down there and starts shredding him to pieces. Turns out it's Shriek. Now luckily he doesn't kill Shriek, his one and only love, I guess, his Bonnie to his Clyde, I guess is probably the best way to put it. But he ends up...
The devil on his shoulder, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty much the devil on his shoulder.
Only with street jackets.
Carnage is just so overwhelmed with what's going on that he starts to realize that fate has a hold of him. This is the only way I could put this together, but that fate has a hold of him, and his only solution, even though he's a worshiper of chaos, he has now realized that he is a cog in some type of a wheel that is turning, and he doesn't want any part of it. So what he has decided is the best bet is to not fight fate and to just go. As he's holding Shriek's dead body, we're treated to the next page. Cletus Cassidy, Carnage, has turned himself in with the sole purpose of just sitting in a cell and waiting for fate to let go of him to when he can actually go out and become a agent of chaos once more. That's kind of the end of that whole fight. Epilogue is pretty much Deadpool. The symbiotes, I guess, get off of him pretty easily and attach to the dog. He turns the hybrid dog loose with these four symbiotes as it is, and it's gone and out to the wilderness. And that's pretty much the end of the book.
That just reminds me so much of The Thing, the dog with the symbiotes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Teasley, has the Red Bull wore off yet?
It's slowly wearing off.
Slowly wearing off. Kind of like this story.
Yeah. Yeah, I went off the rails. When you could tell, like the book, I went off the rails about halfway through issue number 3.
Lost interest. What do you think about this ending? I mean, could you make heads or tails of it? Did it take you a few times of reading it to figure out what the hell Cletus was doing here?
It's a cop-out.
Okay.
It's especially because they said, you know, We don't know what's wrong with him. The cell's not even locked. He could just walk out. No, he loves chaos. He loves murder. And he would not be just sitting calmly in a cell. He would be damn near have to kill Carnage to beat him. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case. Carnage has no compassion, and he has shown it in the past that just because you're friends with him doesn't mean that he cares about you. It's a cop-out ending. It's basically a ending to satisfy the Deadpool side when they could have so wrote the ending so much better and just had Carnage say, you know what, obviously you're as crazy as I am and you're not going to start coming after me, and I'll just flee and go into obscurity, and that be a way to flip it on Deadpool. Because you could write it as Deadpool questioning himself, did I win the fight? Did I break Carnage? Or is he just fucking with me and making me hunt him even more? And you could just leave it open-ended, like, you know, Deadpool has to keep continue hunting Carnage. And you could do the crossover several times down the road. Mm-hmm. But just saying you're going to leave Carnage in a unlocked cell and him be on his best behavior is a cop-out and something that would never happen in a actual Carnage storyline.
Okay. Justin, what do you think of the end of how this ended?
I think basically it comes down to they weren't sure how to kill either one of them off because both of them are invincible.
Okay.
That's pretty much, they had no idea how to go about even trying to, like I said, have actually, it's like Freddy versus Jason.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't have an outright winner is what best way I could describe it.
Yeah.
Do you not think that it would have been better to leave it like an open ending, Carnage fleeing and Deadpool questioning his own sanity? Because of how Deadpool's written with the voices and everything, you could have, it's the perfect point to bring the voices in and just have them bickering, that have one side, you know, saying that he actually is a hero for defeating Carnage and the other one's like, no, you failed, and just have it kind of be the bickering inside his own head as to the outcome, and have Carnage just go, look, you want to, you're going to have to spend the rest of your time trying to find me, rather than leave it to castrate Carnage.
I can see basically him arguing with himself, and then it end up with him just going to get in tacos, so.
That's a Deadpool thing.
I mean, I can see him be like, nah, screw it, let's get tacos.
or he could have threw his famous line in about chimichangas.
Yeah,
there you go.
But, I mean, Carnage definitely wants revenge, though. I did see that when he was talking in the cell there. He actually does say he wants to track down Deadpool, get him back.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into the final couple questions here, then we'll talk about our favorite gruesome scene. Justin, do you feel that Deadpool was represented well in this book?
Minus the voices in his head, he did have, you know, he never shut up. I will say that. He had the arsenal.
Yep.
And he was unkillable, so I think they covered that, but just the voices.
Okay.
That's the only thing that was missing.
Okay. Teasley, Carnage.
No. The first two and a, the over the first 2.5 issues, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the covers, and we have Carnage penis.
we'll never forget.
And then once we see the whole minivan scene, it starts careening way out of control, and it ends up with Carnage with a conscience, which we all know that is the biggest lie that you could tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that they portray Carnage very well in this at all.
Okay. All right. Gruesome injury scenes. Okay, I'm going to list them for you. You tell me your favorites. All right? Okay, issue 1. Let me list all of them first, and then we'll start with Justin, and then we'll go with Teasley. Issue 1. Carnage takes a grenade to the head. Okay? Also in issue 1, Deadpool gets his face shrieked off. All right, so that's issue 1. Issue 2, the only one I really could pick out of issue 2 was Deadpool getting skewered by Carnage. Issue 3, we had a couple in there. Deadpool gets skewered again, and then proceeds to get hit by a truck, and then drug for probably about a quarter of a mile. Also, Deadpool gets dismembered and left for dead at the end of that issue. And issue 4, Carnage gets sniped by Deadpool. There's another part in there where Carnage's mouth eye, and head get impaled by Deadpool's guts. All right, so pick your favorite there, Justin.
I'd say the whole blowing up Carnage with the grenade.
With the grenade?
I just love the whole him regenerating his hand and flipping him off. That's just so Deadpool.
That is some good stuff.
I mean, it's a middle finger first regenerating before the other fingers. It gets me every time. I laughed so hard at that scene.
How about you, Teasley? What's your favorite?
My favorite is the semi, him splattering on the front of the semi and body parts flying everywhere.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that one. That one's probably the roughest.
That's the grossest one, yeah.
Yeah, it's gotta be the nastiest ones in there. Well, boys, it's been fun. All right, my mans, let's go ahead. We'll get into plugs. First off, I want to thank both you guys for coming on here. It's been spending the time with me. We spent a good bit talking about this book. I can't think of two other guys who like their characters more than you. Justin, now, you've done podcasts in the past, so do you got yourself a Twitter, anybody could contact or anything like that? You got anything you want to plug, man?
Pretty much, Facebook, you just find me under Justin Thomas. I have a Twitter, you find me under Spectre13 for Twitter. That's, SPEKTR. And also, I have a Tumblr, Spectre13 as well. Google Plus, Spectre13. And, let me see, I think I have an imager as well also that gives my Spectre13.
Alright.
So, let me guess, anytime anybody wants to find you, look up Spectre13.
Pretty much, yeah, and if you guys want to catch me on some multiplay, you know, I'm on Steam, find me under Spectre13 on there, or even PS3.
Very cool. Jason Teasley, plug your stuff. You know your stuff off top of your head?
I don't do shit.
Whatever, man.
You can join me and Jesse every Tuesday night, which will be coming to an end for a couple of weeks here soon. We've not recorded or anything for the past couple of weeks due to some personal issues dealing with me and my health. So I've kind of had to slack off and take it easy. It's a sports show me and Jesse do, and you kind of hear me rant and rave and cuss and fall asleep sometimes. Also, go back and look up some of the past source materials I've been on. One being one of my favorite shows I've ever done, podcasting, and that is me, Jesse, and Ronnie Adams covering The Killing Joke on here on Source Material, and we just celebrated the year anniversary of that.
Yes, we did.
Other than that, you can find me popping up on many other Rattler Broadcasting Network shows, such as Source Material, such as From the Cheap Seats, which I actually run. Everyone loves a bad guy whenever it comes back. You know, Robert tends to, if he doesn't have a guest, he kind of get a phone call from me. I was recently on a show with Gavin Napier from Casual Heroes Talking Wrestling. I don't know the name of that, actually escapes me right
Bunk,
now.
It's the Bunkhouse Stampede. I think.
Yeah, I knew it was Bunkhouse Some. Yeah, it was Bunkhouse Some. Me and him talked for about an hour on our WrestleMania predictions and wrestling. Outside of that, I also pop up on Screaming Boy Productions every so often. Not as much as Jesse because he tends to bump me off. And I think him and Ronnie have a man crush going on.
Bromance.
So, with that being said, yeah, they got a bromance. With that being said, if anybody gets bored and wants to hit me up on Twitter, it's at TurkeyGlue822, I do believe. I don't know because only time I ever see anything come across my Twitter is when Jesse, Ronnie, and the guys over at Figure Forecast tend to tag me in every fucking thing they do, and my phone decides to blow up to the point where I have to turn notifications off. Other than that, just if you like to shoot the shit, hit me up on Twitter. TurkeyGlue822. Yes, it's sad that I don't use it enough to even know what the hell my Twitter
You're gonna be slipping into like Adam Runyon Twitter status here before long.
I'm pretty sure Adam actually updates more than I do.
That's pretty bad.
If you want to go fund me to get my new tattoo, please do. I haven't set up an account yet, but hell, everybody else is doing it. So if somebody wants to pay me to get my tattoo, go ahead.
Jason Teasley, Justin Thomas, these guys were gracious enough to come on here. Can't thank you boys enough. I guess we're going to head on home. real quick, before we get out of here tonight, gotta plug my boys over at the Screaming Boy Productions podcast. Ronnie Adams has been pretty dependable when it comes to talking comics, so I'd feel pretty bad if I didn't get a chance to plug his podcast. Check it out. Hey, Teasley, you like movies?
Yeah, man, I'm pretty much a movie buff.
Well, did you know that we got a new movie podcast right here on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network?
Oh, really?
Yeah, tell them, Ronnie.
That's right. You can join us on the Screaming Boy podcast, where Adam and I give you news and reviews about new movies and classics. You can find us here on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network, iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio.
Next up on the source material agenda, February 29th, the patriarch of the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network comes back to source material, and we discuss the Incredible Hulk Future Imperfect. And Ronnie Adams will be joining us again. Episode's already recorded, just got to get it edited and get it up there. So keep an ear out for that. Also, I do another podcast. It is a Screaming Boy Productions exclusive, and that is the Hulu Documentary Diary, the premise of which is I'm going to watch every documentary on Hulu in alphabetical order. Fun premise. We've got 4 episodes done, and just various topics and a lot of fun discussion. I don't have illusions of grandeur. I know I'm not going to make it through all 500 documentaries, and we're not going to do a podcast on every single one of them. But alphabetical order, I'm going to try and stick to it. You know, it always results in some interesting discussion, especially about topics that I have no interest about in the first place. So please give that a listen. It's out there. The first episode is out, so you should be able to find that pretty easily on the Screaming Boy Network. Thanks to everyone that's listened. Don't forget, you can find me at Stiznarky on Twitter, at SourceMatCast on Twitter also. That's the show's Twitter. And we're out of here. See you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.
Random dream.